Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 16 through 26. And we are not going to deal with everything in this passage today. But we're going to look at it as a whole, and we're going to deal with basically some of the concepts in it. And then next week, we're going to deal with some of the other concepts in it. It was one of those things where you don't know where to stop in the passage, because some of the ideas in the very beginning are also in the very end. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through it, and then we'll just look at certain parts of it today, and then we'll look at other parts of it next Sunday. But if you're there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we're going to read through verse 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Alan was telling me before the service that he was at a funeral yesterday for a Marine that he had served with. And instead of preaching from the Bible, the fellow Marine who was also an ordained minister preached from the Marine Corps Bible, which is the handbook and the guidebook on how to be a Marine. And he listed off the character traits that a Marine holds to, and everybody was able to sit there and say, yep, that was him. And as I thought about that afterwards, I thought, you know, there's all sorts of different ways we choose to live our lives. There's certain guidelines that we choose to follow, right? A person, I don't know if it is very prevalent these days, but probably in the past it was more prevalent, but a Boy Scout who grows up could continue to live his life based off of the oath, the Boy Scout's oath and the Boy Scout's pledge and their guidelines and characteristics of what makes a true Boy Scout. You know, some people, if you're into a certain kind of a lifestyle, maybe you might try just to live up to that lifestyle. So if you're really liking bikes and you like to go riding all the time, maybe you excel in the lifestyle of being a biker. There's all sorts of different ways that we can choose to live our lives. And what Paul is saying in this passage, when he says, but I say, here's what I think. Here's what I'd like to suggest to you is what Paul is saying. And when he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Now this is in contrast, the but is there because he had just gotten done talking about living in freedom, not fighting one another, not devouring one another so that we might be consumed by one another, not giving into our basest passions, but instead he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now some of you might have a Bible that translates it instead of walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. The word is that he's using, it could go either way because it is talking about how we live. You say walk the walk, talk the talk kind of a thing. The word is a compound word in the Greek dictionary. It basically means to walk around or to wander around. And it has the idea of how one goes about their life, how one goes about their daily activities. Walk by the Spirit is what he says. Live by him. How you go about your daily life, just walk by the Spirit, and you will not satisfy or gratify isn't truly the what he's saying there. It's fulfill. You won't fulfill. You won't complete the desires of the flesh. You won't fulfill them in your life. You won't make them come to a completion or an end. You won't bring them to their natural end if you're walking by the Spirit. It's not the idea of gratify as in to give in here or there. He says, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The innermost, deepest, darkest, pleasure-seeking of the flesh. Because, as he says in verse 17, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the Spirit is against the flesh. They're diametrically opposed because the Holy Spirit is God, and the flesh, in Paul's thinking and writing, now the flesh is our skin and the flesh is the way of the world. Basically, you could sum up the flesh with everything that is completely opposite of God. Because we have corrupted ourselves, because we have fallen, we are as far away from God as we can possibly be in our flesh. And if God's desire is that we would live our lives as he has guided us and as he has created us to live them, it's not like he's sitting up there on, you know, in the clouds angrily wanting us to do everything just right. It's more the idea of he has created us to be a certain way. And what would please him the most is that we would live out that way. But everything within us fights him. And everything within us desires to live contrary to how he would have us be. For instance, I'm assuming most all of us, if not truly all of us, are citizens of the United States of America. Now, the United States was created, not perfectly, but created with certain ideals and beliefs. And so you could say that for us as a later generation of United States citizens, the expectation that our founders would have is that we would live out those ideals to their fullest. That we would believe that all humans are created equal. That we have all been given by our Creator certain inalienable rights, which not enumerated fully, but among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so the idea of the equality among humanity, that we all have rights, and of those rights that we should be able to live, that we should be able to live in relative liberty, and that we should, as much as we are able to, pursue happiness. Now, that's the founding, and so what we struggle with ever since then is obviously when the United States was founded, certain humans within the country were not considered equal, were they? And so right off the bat, we weren't living up to those ideals. And so close to 100 years later, we have a war to settle the idea of equality. And even then, it's not settled. And so we continue to struggle. And one of the great things you can do is point out that if the country is doing something that doesn't live up to those ideals, then we need to change that about the country. But the flip side is as you have people that grow up in the country who want to live out tyrannical ideas, or they want to tell you what to do, well, then you start saying, wait a minute, that goes against what this country is all about. And over time, we see less liberty, less pursuit of happiness, less equality at times. And it's a constant struggle, but there's those ideals that are held up there. And I would say it's more like that with us and God. He created us to be a certain way. His desire for us was to be like him, to worship Him and to live freely. And everything about us in our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds, and how the world works, that's all the flesh. And the very base desires of the flesh are to fight against God in every way possible. One pastor that he doesn't lead a church anymore, but he still does a lot of preaching. One pastor I like, a guy by the name of Steve Brown, he says he's got authority problems. He wants to argue with stop signs. You know? Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We have authority issues. We don't even want to obey the stop sign. That is the flesh fighting against the Spirit. And the Spirit is opposed to and against the flesh, and they're opposed to one another. And so the flesh is working to keep us from doing the things in Christ we want to do. Alternately, though, also, as we walk with the Spirit will keep us from doing the things we in our flesh want to do. They're opposed to one another. And so Paul is saying to the Galatians and to us, as we struggle to live out our lives and we're tempted to go into things like the law to get circumcised or to live legalistically or to tell one another we have to do certain things to be with God, he says, instead of doing all that, I say, walk by the Spirit. Because the more you walk with the Spirit, the less you're going to want to satisfy the desires of your flesh. The less you're going to want to actually fulfill the flesh and its desires. He says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't have to worry about keeping the law. You just stay with the Spirit. Just walk with Him, and you'll find yourself doing the right things. It's not the idea of making sure you don't step out of line. Watch out, Big Brother is looking for you. Now, he says to us in verse 19 that the works of the flesh are evident. But then later on, he says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, isn't that interesting? One is work. The other one is fruit. Now, the big difference between the two is you work to produce something, but fruit is the results of whatever the work has. So you can have, you know, notice he doesn't say the fruit of the flesh. He says the work of the flesh. The things that we are going to actively do to satisfy our flesh are evident. And it's not an exhausted list. There's other things out there. That's why he says things like these. He says, I could keep going, but I'm going to stop. But the result of walking with the Spirit. What is the result of walking with the Spirit? Now, sometimes we want to read this and say, well, if I want to be a good Christian, I need to grow in love, and I need to be more joyful, and I need to have more peace, and I need to be more patient, and I need to be kinder, and I need to be good. And we start working at doing all these things. But it's fruit. And fruit is a result. And fruit is a gift. You know, I can work really hard at planting vegetables and crops, and what comes out of it's always changing. It doesn't matter how hard I work. You know, last year worked real hard, didn't get a whole lot of tomatoes, didn't get any yellow squash. I was just bounding in zucchini, though. Had more zucchini than I'd ever seen, and great big zucchinis that are hiding, and it's like, how did the zucchini get there? You know, and then this year, the zucchini, it was okay. Okra's been great. Okra's been just still growing all summer long. I'm still getting pods of okra. And you never know what you're going to get. You treat it all the same. Our tomato plants did terrible this year. Some years, it's good. And, of course, I'm not even paying attention to the soil that I'm working on. I've done the best I can with the soil. Maybe that's half the problem. It doesn't matter how much I work. The fruit is what comes out. And then you can work really hard, and you can work tirelessly, and you can watch it all just wash away, or it can all burn out because of the sun. Or sometimes people, they you know, really can upset you. Because I told Emma this year, back in the spring, I said, I'm working on pruning this year. And she goes, oh, I never prune. I've never bothered with that. I'm like, you know, she's probably putting up enough food to last into her 120s. How? You don't ever prune? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking she must have secrets, her and Bill, you know? And I'm like, I'm going to try pruning this year. I'm working on pruning. Yeah, I pruned my grapevine to death. Not that I meant to, but I took a few things off, and the next thing I knew, the thing was dead. Oh, I never prune. And you talk to them. You talk to Emma, especially about, you know, what's, and oh, this isn't growing, that's not growing, this isn't growing, that's not growing. And then the next thing she says is, oh, I spent all day yesterday just putting up this or putting up that. And I'm like, yeah, it's not growing, huh? No, it's you just never know what's going to come out. You never know what's going to come out. And fruit is what comes out. And so it's not that we work at patience. It's not that we work at kindness. It's that you walk with the Holy Spirit. You go about your life with the Holy Spirit. And as you're with your Holy Spirit more, you're going to find yourself being more like the Holy Spirit. And that is the key. It's walking with the Holy Spirit, not doing all these things. And so often we're so focused on what we need to do. And so, an evidence of this is just who do you hang around with? You know, when I grew up, we were moving around a lot because my dad was in the Air Force, and so one of the things that happened was I didn't really get a strong accent anywhere. You know, 3 years in New Mexico, 3 years in England, but with a bunch of Americans from all over the place. Even the 4 years we lived in Virginia, most of the people we were around were military people, and so they're all from all over the place. And what happens is, even though you might have a few accents here and there, there's nothing that's so overwhelming for a long enough time that it's stuck. And so one of the things that I discovered is when I was in the Marines, I was in the reserves, so we spend a weekend in the reserves. Well, half the guys in my unit are Hispanic. Another quarter are African American, so there's only about a quarter of us that are white in the unit. But a lot of the guys I worked with were Hispanic, and we'd talk, and we'd work on this and that. And by the end of the weekend, I'd come home, and I'd be like, hey, you know, what's going on? And because they'd even call me Vato when we walk in, and I'd just slip into it. And I'm not doing as well as I would then, but if I hang around with a person enough, I'll just start picking up on that accent. And so we went to a conference back in July, and one of the guys I talked to was from up north, and he said, well, where are y'all from? And we said, well, we're from Texas. He said, well, you don't have an accent. I said, that's because we're living in the Metroplex. Nobody has an accent here. You know, but I've also been talking all weekend to people from outside the state. Anybody that was presenting weren't from Texas. And so what happens is the accent changes, whoever I'm with. And in a similar way, the more you're with certain people, the more you're going to act like those people. The more you're going to talk like those people. The more you're going to do the things those people do. And if you walk with the Holy Spirit, you spend a lot of time with the Holy Spirit, not in a legalistic, you better make sure you're having your quiet time, and you better make sure you're praying, and you better make sure. No, if you're just with Him, if you just live your life in such a way that you're walking by Him, by His guidance, when the need arises and you constantly are going back, you'll find yourself becoming more like Him. And so that's why He says, against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions, with its desires. We're with Christ, and so we're just going to walk with the Spirit. And throughout this passage, Paul uses four different words to describe our relationship with the Spirit. The first one that's translated walk by the Spirit is the idea of how we walk around. Then here in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's the idea of He's guiding you. Then in verse 25, we have if we live by the Spirit, and that is the actual word for live. Our very life, our very life is by the Spirit. Let us then also walk by the Spirit. Now the word there is the idea of rows. It's the word that they would use for crops being in a row. People walking in rows. Basically the idea, let's march by the Spirit. And what he means there is a purposeful walking. You know, it's one thing if you have a group of people moseying from one place to another in a crowd. It's another thing if you line them all up, make sure they're all standing a certain distance apart, and then they all march together, stepping at the same exact time together. There's an order to it. There's a purpose behind it. And that's really what he's saying. If we live by the Spirit, if our very life is by the Spirit, then let us also purposely walk by the Spirit. Let's make it the intent of our hearts to walk by him. So it's how we live our lives. But there is a certain bit of purposefulness, not in make sure I do this, 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 and this. But let me be mindful of the fact that I am walking with the Spirit. That is his encouragement to us. How do you stop sinning? You know, if you've got a tongue on you that just says things you don't want it to say, and that doesn't have to be foul things, that can just be harsh things, or that can just be busybody things, or that can be gossipy things. It can be all sorts of things. Well, what do? Just sit around saying, don't gossip, don't gossip, don't gossip, don't gossip, don't gossip. All you're doing is spending your time thinking about gossiping. You know, if I want to lose some weight, and so by losing weight, I don't want to eat certain foods, well, if all I'm doing is thinking about those foods, I'm going to get kind of hungry. And I'm going to get kind of hungry specifically for those foods. And so the encouragement here isn't to focus on the things we don't want to do, and not even necessarily to focus on the things we do want to do. It's to focus on the one we want to do them for. Focus our hearts and our minds on God. And what the Galatians have been doing is they're focused on what kind of practices, what kind of behavior. And so often that's what we get our focus on, isn't it? What behavior do we need to do? Instead, he says, just walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Be purposeful in staying with the Spirit. And if you do that, you'll have a fruitful walk. You'll have a fruitful life. You won't even recognize it, but you'll start seeing things happening. You're going to start changing, not because you worked hard at it, not because you did everything you could to, but just because the longer we're with him, the more we're going to be like him. We'll start talking like him. We'll start thinking like him. It's hard at first. You have to be very diligent in thinking about the Holy Spirit, but after a while it just becomes natural. Not much different than, you know, the first stages of courtship. You had to make sure you got together and you saw one another and you had to set up time to do it. But if courtship lends to engagement and engagement lends to marriage, I mean, maybe if you're super busy, you have to set up times to talk to your spouse, but mostly you just do it throughout the day, right? You're with one another, and so you share things, and you don't have to make those arrangements, although sometimes we do. We have to be purposeful still to make sure we have it. Maybe every now and then we need a date. But we also have the benefit of daily interaction. Passing, sharing meals, sharing a room. All those little things that make it so that you don't have to get together just to find out how your day was going. That's Paul's encouragement for us in how to live with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit shouldn't just be somebody we get together with in the morning or in the afternoon or evening. It should be a daily part of our life to just be with him, to walk with him, to rely upon him. And the more we focus on him, the less we'll focus on those other things. And the more time we spend with him, the more we'll become like him. That's his answer for the Galatians. That's his answer for us. How do we live a godly, Christ-centered life? Just walk with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to walk with you, that you call us to walk by your Holy Spirit and your guidance and direction in our lives. But how great it is that you just want to spend time with us. You just want to be with us, and you, more so than that, you want us to be with you. You're already here. But may we direct our thoughts and our minds to you. May we focus our hearts on you, Lord, to walk with you, to be with you, not to try to please you, not to try to make sure we're good enough for you, but just to be with you, to learn from you and how you live. Lord, we pray, if we have become distant from you, we pray that we would be purposeful in starting to walk with you in a better way, that we would draw closer to you. And Lord, we pray that we would not be working at it, that we would be purposeful, disciplined, but just to be with you, Lord. And that we would get to see the work you're doing in our lives over time. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.